But we are going to be in Colossians chapter number 3 at some point, at some time, eventually. Maybe at 8 o'clock tonight, but we'll be there, all right? Is everybody good? Y'all ain't good, all right? Y'all ain't good. All right, let me start reading. All right, I'll read verse number 1 of Colossians chapter number 3. And then I'm going to go back to Colossians chapter number 2, all right? So if we look in Colossians chapter number 3, Paul starts it off and says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ." He's stating something as if they already knew it, right? If ye then be risen with Christ. What is he talking about? Well, we got to go back and find it out, all right? And so that's why I'm going back in chapter number 2. So in chapter number 2 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." It's good stuff. "Walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain or through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Paul said, you better be careful when people start adding to Jesus. I need somebody to hear me right here. He says, you have received him. Up in verse number 6. In verse number 7, he says, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, establish yourself in him, grow in him, mature in him. It's all about him. But in verse number 8, he says, you better be careful because there's people out there that'll try to add to him. Y'all better hear me. We got to get this. We want to act like this was a Bible problem, but it ain't a Bible problem. It's a problem today. It's a problem in our denomination. People want to run across denominational lines and worship with this one and worship with that one. If they add anything to Christ, they are not us. I'm going to say that again because I didn't get the participation that ought to be got in a Baptist church. If they do not view Christ and the work of Christ like we do, they aren't us. They're not even close to us. You cannot add to Jesus Christ. Paul's going to go on in verse number 9. "For in him," who's him? Jesus. "For in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily." Oh, there wasn't any part of Jesus that wasn't God. I need somebody to hear me right here. Paul said, everything is wrapped up in him. "For in him dwelleth all Jesus." That's why Jesus said God was in him and he was in God. Oh, y'all, we're getting there. Verse number 10, look at this verse. "And ye are complete in him." Not in anything else. I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to be baptized to be saved because I am complete in him. I don't have to follow your set of rules that you've put out there for everybody, that they have to follow these set of rules to be saved. Why? Because my salvation is not based off a work that I can do. My salvation is not based off an ordinance of the church. My salvation is based off of him and him alone, and I am complete in him. You can't add to that. You can't add to that. Beware of people that add to that. Well, you can't be saved if you do this. You can't be saved if you do that. Be careful around people like that. They're adding to a work that was Christ and not ours. I'm going to say that again. They're adding to a work that was Christ's work, not ours. I like it. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." You know what they're saying? He's over all them little G's. I need somebody to hear me right here. For those of y'all that are thinking that he might be on equal standings with Satan. Mm-mm. He's over him. He is the head. I'm going to move on. Is everybody all right? Verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised. Let me stop. Because this was a problem that was going on in this church. You had people that come after Paul and said, oh, we like this Jesus that you got. But if you really want to be saved, you're going to have to be circumcised. What's the difference between that and, hey, we like this Jesus you got, but if you really want to be saved, you're going to have to be baptized. I walk back over here. Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate that little help right there, Brother Mark. What is the difference between somebody coming up and saying, hey, if you want to be saved, you got to be circumcised, and somebody else, a denomination with churches all around our area, telling everybody, if you want to be saved, you got to be baptized? What's the difference in the two? Both of them are false doctrines. Both of them ought to close their doors, shut down the church, quit reading the Bible, just get out of it. Because you're leading people down a road that God never intended for them to go. It ain't about what you and I can do. It's not about our works. It's not about what I did. It's about what He did. And I am complete in Him. Everybody all right? In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Ooh. Ooh. He ain't talking about the circumcision that you and I are thinking about. This is a spiritual event. This is something that takes place in Him. In Him, there is a circumcision that takes place. Made without hands. That means not of this earth. It is a spiritual transaction. Stay with me. Stay with me. Remember, we get back to Colossians chapter number 3 at some point. He said, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of who? Christ. He says, when you and I are saved, when we receive Christ, we are in Him. And in Him, He is putting off the body of sins of the flesh. We're going to move on. Verse number 12. Getting somewhere right here. Buried with Him in baptism. Are we talking about a physical event or a spiritual event? Thank you. Let's hear it again. I'm going to say it again. Are we talking about a physical event or a spiritual event? A spiritual event. We're circumcised by Christ in Him, buried with Him in baptism. That means our sins are taken away. He that knew no sin became sin for you and I. Our sin, the flesh, was put away. And we were buried with Him. Why? Because we were dead. Wherein also ye are risen with Him. How many of y'all has been risen from the dead? Alright, not physically, right? Spiritually. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. We gotta stay with it, alright? Don't come up to me after church talking about I died and God raised me from the dead. I don't want to hear it. Alright? You put that stuff on TV, make a book out of it, and tithe off all the money you make, alright? But, in this case, we're talking about a spiritual event. This is something that has, I need somebody to help me. Does everybody see that everything that He has said is in the past tense? We were circumcised in Him, by Christ, in Him, when we received Him. We were buried, y'all see that ED on the end of it, buried with Him. And then we are risen, not rising or not gonna rise. We are, y'all ain't getting it. The spiritual transaction has already taken place. I've already died to sin. I've already been buried with Christ. I have already risen with Him. can't take that away from me. I need somebody to help me. You can't take that away from me. It's already taken place. It took place when I got saved. Hey, I'm risen with him. Through what? The faith. Of who? The operation of God. It ain't about me. Oh my goodness. Man, we might just read scripture and go. I mean, is this not what preaching is all about? Preaching is all about bringing out the Word of God. Let's look at it for what it says. Let it say what it says. Shout and praise what it says. And go to the house and meditate on what it says. I'm risen. I'm already risen with Him through the faith. Through faith of the operation of God. Not me. Who hath raised Him from the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead. Did y'all know that? Because some other preacher come in here and say that, and y'all be like, wow, I ain't never heard that before. Who has raised Him from the dead? It gets better. Go to verse number 13. Oh, yeah. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together. How? With Him. Oh, so when He raised Him, y'all ain't getting it. When He raised Him, I'm quickened, made alive. I'm raised up with Him. Oh, having forgiven you all trespasses. Woo! Woo! That won't preach in a lot of Baptist churches. They got a whole list of sins that you can't be forgiven for. But right here, God has raised us up from the dead with His dear Son, made us alive together with Him, and has forgiven us of all our trespasses. Amen. Man, it just gets getting better and better. Let's go to verse number 14. I like this part. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You know what that means? He's blotted out the list of crimes. That's what that handwriting of ordinances were. He says he's blotted out. He's likening it unto a list of crimes that has been brought before God. A list of your sins. I need somebody to help me right here. A list of your sins brought before God. Accused by the accuser of the brethren. And God just blots it all out. Why? Because we're forgiven of all our trespasses. Which was contrary to us. This ordinance, this list of crimes was contrary to us. And He took it out of the way. It's as if it didn't exist. I'm going to go over here. It's as if the judge said, case dismissed. There's not enough evidence to convict. Why? Because it's been forgiven. It's been blotted out. It's been taken out of the way. How? Nailing it to His cross. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Everybody all right? I need your man. So what you're saying, preacher, is that my sins, the debt for my sins, was paid on the cross. Ding, 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 ding. Is everybody all right? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I could go on. I will go on because some of y'all need to hear the next three verses. Are y'all hearing me right now? Let's go on to verse number 15. He says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh, don't think Satan's won. Satan probably looked at that cross and said, I got him! I got him! But 3 days later, he said, I can't hold him! I can't hold him! Hey, what everybody thought was a victory for Satan turned out to be a trial for the Lord. God said, you can't keep me in the grave. You can't keep me dead. Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. He triumphed over them openly. 500 people said, hey, we witnessed Jesus walking around after the grave. Openly. Openly, he made a mess of them. Is everybody all right? Verse number 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Listen to what he's saying right here. Everything that you read in the Old Testament, every ordinance that you've seen in the Old Testament, every feast that you read about in the Old Testament, every sacrifice that you read about in the Old Testament was nothing more of but a foreshadowing of who was to come. And he has come. And so we no longer have to keep the Sabbath. We no longer have to keep the law. We no longer have to observe the feast. We no longer have to keep up with the Passover. Why? Because he is the Passover lamb. Boy, how do we get all messed up on that? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you can't add anything to it. We're complete in him. Can't go back to Sabbath days. They were a foreshadowing. Can't go back to the feasts. They were a foreshadowing. Can't go back to the sacrifices. They were a foreshadowing. The substance has come. What the foreshadowing said was coming has come. Everybody all right? Now, I don't even feel like preaching anymore. I'm tired. We just read Bible. We ain't even got to our text yet. Jesus said there was a spiritual, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that there was a transaction that took place. When we received Christ, the flesh, the body of sin, Christ circumcised, we were buried with him and we rose. Is everybody all right? We're risen in him. So listen to what Paul tells the church. If ye then be risen with Christ. Come on, y'all, help me. What is the requirements of being risen with Christ? It wasn't no law. I just said it. Who said it? Received him? Buried with him? Risen with him. It ain't got nothing to do with me and you. But when we received him, we got saved. If ye then be risen. When we got saved, didn't all that take place? Circumcision took place. The burial took place. The resurrection took place spiritually. So if you're saved in this building, this verse is for you. If ye then be risen with Christ. Man, I'm going to tell you what, y'all were just shouting about all that stuff a minute ago. Y'all was happy about it. Boy, praise God, hallelujah, I've been risen unto the Lord. Everybody ready? Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. There is a spiritual transaction that took place in you. Paul tells us that we're seated already in the heavenlies. But some of us has got a grip on the world. We're supposed to be up there, but we holding on for dear life. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ, remember this, you were quickened together with Christ. He's there. I don't know if y'all are getting this. He's there. We ought to be there. If we be risen, if we are saved, if this spiritual transaction has happened within us, then we need to seek the things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm going to say that again. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Preacher, we've been talking about this in my Sunday school class. Man, I can't get over the mindset that Paul had. Paul lived his life wishing that he was with Christ. I'm going to say it, and this is probably going to, don't take this the wrong way, but Paul lived his life wishing that he could die so that he could be with Christ. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, he said as long as he was in this body, he was yearning, he was longing to be there. Y'all see the mind of Paul? As Paul goes through all these afflictions, all these stonings and shipwreck, all these things, and he says, light affliction. I want to be there. Whatever I got to go through here, I want to be there. Paul says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because this on the earth is temporary. Some of you are working so hard to give something to your kids and they're going to fight over it. They're going to end up hating each other over it. They're going to leave out of here not having a grasp on their spiritual life, fighting over physical things that they can't take with them where they're going. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Now, I'm not telling you don't leave your kids nothing. All you young and say, phew. Just saying, if we're going to leave them something, let's leave them something. Leave them a heritage, a godly heritage, something that'll last eternally. You can give them physical things, but let's give them the right things. All right, let me move on or I ain't going to be able to finish this whole chapter. Everybody all right? Verse number 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Man, I love that. Do you understand what he just says right there? You're dead to that old life. You're dead to those sins. And your life is hid inside Christ. Who's inside God? Remember when Jesus said, he talked about them being in his hand. And he said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. And he said, I'm in my Father's hand. And no man is able to pluck him out of his. This is what Jesus said. He said, Robbie, you right down in here. And I got you. And then God's got me. Man, some of you, I'm telling you, some of you ain't got no joy in your salvation because you ain't got a hold of this. I am hid. My life is hid in Christ. It's hid with Christ in God. Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life. Man. I ought to just preach on that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, Paul said, man, think about it. when he comes back, we're going there. When he comes back to earth, we're coming back with him. Get your mind off of this. We're going to someplace far better. Get your mind. Direct your mind. Set your affection direct. It means direct your mind to things above. But he said, well, since you're here, y'all ready for verse number 5? Probably not. Since you're here, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now, are we talking about physical or spiritual? No, physical here. Oh, see, the spiritual transaction has taken place. Now we got to work on our members. That's what this is. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Upon the earth. Get that? We already, the spiritual aspect's in heaven. We're on the earth. We got to mortify. We got to do some things while we're here. Set our affection up there, but we got to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, most of them things are sexual sins, but we get to covetousness and he says it's idolatry. Ooh, man, that contradicts the first of those commandments. Is everybody all right? He goes on, he says this. He says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. God says there's a judgment for those things. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Remember he said we're dead to them. Spiritually speaking, we're dead to them. He said you walked in them in times past physically, but spiritually you're dead to them now. So what do you need to do to them? Mortify them. Y'all hear? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Look here, I'm not to continue living like I did before I got saved. A spiritual transaction took place. I died to my sin. I was buried in Christ. I rose again to new life with Christ. I should not be living in the same sin. How do I get rid of them? I got to kill them. Mortify them. That's on me. That is on me. He said, you used to live in them. You used to walk in them. Verse number 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Man, that list just grew substantially. You mean I can't be angry, preacher? I'll just read it. Is everybody all right? I'll just read it. Put off these things. All. Put off all these. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Why ain't y'all hollering and shouting right now? I mean, when I was doing it a while ago, y'all, woo! That's ouch now, she says. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Y'all want an outline? Here's your outline. We see our perspective in verse number 1. We see our perspective in verse number 1 through 2. We're to set our affection on things above. Is everybody with me? We're to seek, according to verse number 1, we're to seek those things which are above. According to verse number 2, we're to set. There's a setting that needs to take place. We need to set our affection or direct our mind on things above. And then there's a Savior in verse number 4, who is our life. I mean, if you got saved, somebody help me right here. He ain't something. The problem with most Christians is they put him on and off. Hey, do you understand a transaction's been made? You don't get to just take Jesus off when Sunday morning's over. I'll pick you back up Wednesday night, Jesus. That ain't how it worked if you got saved. You're risen together with him. So now, he says, now you got to put off the deeds of the old man. That's me. I ain't taking Jesus off. I'm taking the old man off. Oh, why? Because the old man ain't fit for where I'm going. I got to take the old man off. I wish I had something new to put on, because I got to put on the new man too. See, it ain't just about taking off the old man. Verse number 10. The Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who's that? Jesus. Remember in the Bible, let us make man in our own image. Remember in the Bible where it says all things were created for him. All things were created by him. They were created for his pleasure. He was talking about Jesus. And so, not only do I put off the old deeds, do I put off the old man, but I'm to put on a renewed in knowledge, a new man renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That means I got to get to know him. Y'all can help me now. I'm supposed to act like him because I'm in him. I'm together with him, so I should act like him, all right? Let's see how he would act. Let's go through the next few verses. Is everybody all right? I'm having fun. Are y'all having fun? All right, so we talked about our perspective. Number two was our performance. We see a putting off of the old man, but we also see a putting on of the new man. This putting on of the new man, the Bible tells us that, wherefore, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. That means that there is no prejudices. That means that everybody that's in Christ, everybody that has received him, everybody, whether you think that they're a barbarian or is everybody getting what I'm saying? In other words, you don't get to pick and choose. God said, but Christ is all and in all. When I see Brother Edwin, and Brother Edwin's saved. At least he says he is. Miss Gail shaking her head. No, I'm kidding. She didn't do that. All right, so when I see him, let me tell you how God sees him. He sees Christ. When I see him, he's in Christ. Y'all ain't getting this. I should see him as in Christ. Man, we got the wrong perspective, man. We're looking at people and we're seeing them for their sins, and we ain't seeing them for what? We're not seeing them like God sees them. Might help us. I'm going somewhere with this, so it might help us. Might help us if we started seeing people as God sees them, in Christ. A child of God. Is that all right? Why do you say that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. That literally means the chosen of God. When we received him, we were buried in him, buried with him. We were made alive together with him. We're chosen. Put on, therefore, as the elect or chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Keep on going. forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I hope y'all probably didn't catch it, but you're going to right here. We're told to mortify ourselves. We're to put off the deeds of the old man. But when we put on the new man, every bit of it is based on how we treat others. Did you notice that? What we're to put off, it's all about us. What we're to put on is how we treat others. It didn't say anywhere in there that you and I are to keep this ordinance or that ordinance or anything else. It's telling us that when we take off, we're to, listen, let me get back over here. Let me see if I can tie this in. He says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him in verse number 10. So when we have a knowledge of him that created us, then it should change how we treat others. That's what we put on. Y'all better help me. I'm supposed to treat people better. We want to mortify people. We want to mortify people. We want to look at all their sins and point them out and mortify them. But that ain't what we're supposed to do scripturally. Scripturally, you're to mortify you. You're to put off those things. You're responsible for putting off those things. And you are responsible for putting on something that you did not have before you got saved. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Y'all ready? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. We're supposed to be long-suffering. That means when somebody does us wrong, we don't immediately demand, but are we that way? Don't be saying, yeah, we ain't that way. You're doing good though. We're not that way. We want vengeance and we want it now. But that ain't what we're supposed to put on. We're supposed to be long suffering, patient, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, kind. Oh, well, we'll be kind to people that are kind to us. We'll be good to people that are good to us, but that ain't what the Bible says. Is everybody all right? I'm having fun. Y'all having fun? Our perspective, our performance, we're supposed to put on a new man. We're to put on the knowledge of Christ. We got to have a knowledge of Christ. We got to know who He is. We find that in verse 10. We find that in verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I ain't got time to preach everything. We're done. It goes on. I wish I had time, because it doesn't just end right here. He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We're to let love supersede. When somebody does us wrong, we're to let love. We're to forgive them. Well, how am I supposed to forgive them like Christ has forgiven you? Y'all was all happy and shouting and hollering when I was talking about that list of crimes that was nailed to the cross. Woo! Now he says forgive him. Like, about that now? Jesus knew what you was going to be like, so he said, you to forgive them like I forgave you. Woo! Where everybody all right? Man, isn't that amazing? I don't know that I've ever seen it this way, but the list of things that you and I are to put on is in direct reflection of how we treat other people. Not how we treat God, how we treat other people. It's assumed that we're going to treat God the right way. Why? Because He is our life. We're together in Him, with Him. It's assumed that we're going to treat Him right. So He spends this chapter telling us how to treat others and how to deal with ourselves. Mortify. I ain't got time for preaching the rest of it. But Paul goes on, and man, he talks about having compassion. He talks about submitting. The wives submitting to their husbands. Boy, I was looking forward to preaching that. The husbands loving their wives. The children obeying their parents. I need a parent to say, glory! The servant, how they treat the master, their master. My last point was our passion, but you know what? We probably need to preach this. We'll finish this up next Wednesday night. Because we ain't done. Just to be honest with you, we got some work to do. We got to mortify some things, and you and I have got to put some things on. I wonder if we get to heaven and God said, you know, the church ran away more people than sin ever did. Because the church don't know how to treat people. You and I are to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And people are out there going, if that's what Jesus is, God help us. God help us. Hey, pray in your seats. We won't have an altar call tonight. Pray in your seats. Because I know y'all under conviction because y'all were shouting in chapter number 2 and you quit. You quit. You quit shouting on me. So get right. Let's start putting some things off. I ain't got no business being on us. Let's start putting some things on that make us, conform us to His image. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for the teaching of Your Word. I'm thankful that, Lord, we don't have to preach. God, Your Word is a sermon. Your Word is truth. Your Word stands alone. God, if we'll just read it, meditate on it with passion, God, we get the answers we need. Lord, we're risen already, resurrected in You to new life. God, I pray that we'll set our affections, our minds on the things of above. God, start taking some things off down here that don't belong. God, as we get a knowledge of You and see more of You, Lord, may we put on the things that we know of You. Love, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Lord, may we do it with passion. Do it heartily to the Lord. With enthusiasm. Lord, with the hope of eternity. With our eyes on that day, Lord, where You'll part the clouds and call us home. Lord, we love You. Thank You for